that felt like it, that felt like that thing dragged on forever. So take your Bible, if you would, and go to Philemon in chapter 1. Of course, there's only one chapter in Philemon. And I'm only going to be in this chapter. So that's encouraging because there's only so far you can go and you'll hit the end. So I just want to share this story with you. My goal is to be brief. I mean, Maggie says I've never done that before, but we'll give it a shot. It's been, you know, if we can say it in a quicker way, and the Lord's he's in charge of how it's used. But you guys have been faithful. It's been a long week. You know, Monday's right around the corner, and you got to go out there and start chasing the rats again. Course, where I live, they really do that, and then they eat them. So you know, it's sad today. Now this is absolutely not. It is important, but it's not important. We realize that. But when you're in Africa, especially where we live, anything that you can get some sort of normal living like you would back here. When we first moved out there in the bush, we had no electricity. We have electricity now. Praise the Lord, we were able to get a big 17 kVA Cummins diesel generator. It powers 5 houses, and that's a blessing because our electricity goes out constantly. So on a gas generator, it was just killing us. We got a nice generator now. We have when we first moved there, we would freeze ice in town, bring it out to the house, and put it in the refrigerator. Because we didn't have any way to do that. So things have changed. I mean, we have a normal house. In fact, you can see it on Google Earth. If you went in there and typed in Liberty Baptist Ministry, you'll see a little pen, and you can look at the aerial view of where we live. So, I mean, it's not, I mean, people say, if I come visit you, am I going to live? Yeah, we have hot water, you know. There's a nice, you can have a nice bed. You know, nothing's going to eat you. We have freezers now. We've come a long way, but it's still, you know, when you live there, like when you're visiting for a couple of days, it's, you know, anybody can do that. Day in and day out's rough. So we try to do things that kind of make it feel like back here. And one of them is, you know, we have animals, we have dogs. Their main purpose is to keep people out of our yard. We have a block wall all the way around our yard. There are 12,000 blocks in this wall, and it's all made by hand. And that's just to give Maggie some privacy there if I'm not there. Well, she had a cat, and she liked this cat. I really am not a cat person, but I'm a Maggie person, so I put up with the cat. And she really liked this cat. And we even went through the effort of getting that thing declawed. You know what I found out? And British people don't like the idea of declawing cats. Well, I said, you may like the cat, but I like my couch. So we declawed the cat. And unfortunately, the cat died today. It was sad. I cried because Maggie cried. You know, Emily, I got a text. It got out of the house. But the problem is there are 5 very large dogs waiting right outside my door, and the cat just didn't make it. And here's what it was bad. Maggie cried. It was sad. But here's why I'm telling you this story. You know, Pastor said, you know, I mentioned this morning, God doesn't do random. When I woke up this morning, I get a ding on my phone. My daughter's got this little kitten. All right. And then my neighbor, Brian, says, say hello to your new pet. And I'm like, no, not my pet. Well, Maggie didn't tell me she okayed this cat. And I thought, this is supposed to be a team effort, you know? I got left out the team. Well, that was this morning. Her cat was still alive, okay? When they got home, they came home with this new little kitten, and that's when they found out that the other cat is no longer there anymore. And I told Emily, and she's crying on the phone. She said, I'm sad that it was mom's cat. And I said, Emily, do you see what God did for you? God in heaven, who's got lots of things to do, made sure before you came home today, he knew your cat wasn't going to be there. So on this day, he made sure. I mean, why was it today that she was given a kitten? That's not accidental. That was on purpose. So that a little girl, she's 17, that my wife and my daughter would know that God cares about the fact that we're in Africa. And to me, that was cool. You know, so somehow I ended up now that that happened, I had to put Band-Aids everywhere. So now I got two kittens coming, you know, but yeah, I think it was all a setup. if I go home and find out that cat's still alive, somebody's in trouble. All right, let's get going to this evening. Let's pray and we'll get Philemon. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for the truth that's in it in this little letter we're going to go through tonight. Lord, may we see the heart of Paul, where he got the idea from, and Lord, may it reflect in our own hearts. Father, we have a week ahead of us, and when we step out of these doors tonight, we're back in the world. No doubt this week we will have to stop and ask you to forgive us when we give into our flesh. Lord, help us to remember what we've learned this week, the fellowship of your word. Keep us strong. Help us to be humble enough to admit when we've done wrong. And Lord, keep a short account of that. Thank you, Father, for being forgiving and kind and gracious. And I just pray that you draw us a little bit closer to you tonight. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. It starts off in verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And this is kind of letting you know where he's at the moment. He's incarcerated now. You know, some think it was a house arrest. Others believe maybe it was a little bit more institutional. Regardless, he's not a free man, and he is, you know, in the system at the time. He's in the system because he's preaching the gospel, which ended him back up in prison again. So, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon. This is a personal letter from Paul to Philemon. Now, why would God, out of all the things that were canonized and put into the Bible, why did God, out of all the things that are written, allow a personal letter from Paul to Philemon? This is not to a church. This is just to a friend. All right? Okay, it's interesting, but why in the world would he put this book and the book? For what reason is it there for? And that's what we're going to determine tonight. Why is this in here? When we get done, I think that you'll agree with me that without a doubt, God knew what he was doing. But this is written to Philemon. Okay, so what Paul's doing here between verses 2 down to verse 10, he's kind of just breaking the ice. He hasn't talked to Philemon in a little while, so he's just doing some small talk, putting out some compliments to Philemon. All right, you drop down to verse 10. Now you get to the main reason he's writing this letter. I beseech thee. That word beseech has a connotation of almost begging, or this is something that's really important to him, and he wants Philemon to listen to it. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus. Okay? So I underlined Onesimus and I stopped and I thought, okay, as far as I know, Paul was not married. Right? Okay? So now there's some pretty good dirt. All of a sudden we feel, hey, he's got a kid. It says, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus. Now look at this. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. What does that mean? Whom I begotten in my... In other words, he's saying this. I'm writing this letter on behalf of my son Onesimus, who I personally had the opportunity to lead to the Lord Jesus Christ. May I tell you something? What you're a part of as a Christian is much bigger than this church. It's a family. And we mentioned that already this week, but what he was saying was, this is my son. Okay? My son who I begot in his bonds. He's telling you he led this man to the Lord while he was incarcerated. Again, whether he was actually in a lockup cell or he was on house arrest, at some point he came across Onesimus and led Onesimus to the Lord. This thing's fading in and out. Do I have it up enough? Okay, I'll just get louder. If you can't hear me, just go like that and I'll bump it up a notch. So he led Onesimus to the Lord. Now, why would he be in the same place as Onesimus? Onesimus was a runaway slave. And of course, when you're caught, they're going to put you in jail. Okay? That is why he is around the Apostle Paul. Again, what their living facilities are like, I have no idea. I do know this. He led him to the Lord in his bonds. That young man was a criminal. Paul's in prison. Okay? And he's led Onesimus to the Lord. And he's writing Philemon because of that. All right? So he goes on to this letter. So it says here, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I begotten in my bonds, which in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. The reason why he's doing this is because Onesimus worked for Philemon. Onesimus was a servant or a slave of Philemon. He's writing this letter in behalf of Onesimus because he used to work for Philemon, and he's saying, Philemon, I understand. At one point, he was unprofitable to you. May I tell you something? Before I met the Lord Jesus Christ, I was unprofitable. Before you met the Lord Jesus Christ, you were unprofitable. Anything good in my life has come out of and because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he was saying to Philemon is, this is not the same man, he's different. I know he was unprofitable at one point to you, but he said this, which in times past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again, that thou therefore receive him that was in my own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. He's saying, look, I would love to keep this young man, but I know he needs to go back to you. However, he's been a benefit to me. Look at verse 14. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. He's saying, now I'm not going to make you do that, but if you ever wanted to, I'd take him. Okay? Now listen to this. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. He's saying, Philemon, I know you're mad that this man ran away. I know you're mad that he stole from you. I know you're mad that he lied to you. I know you don't like him, but I'm telling you, he's different now. Okay, he's profitable now because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, and then he goes on to say that in verse 15, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season. He's saying, you ever thought about this, Philemon? That God wanted to reach this young man and knew that the only way Onesimus would get saved is if God took him down to the very bottom. And by taking him down to the very bottom, he would have an opportunity to hear the gospel and become a believer. He said, perhaps he departed for a season so he could return permanently. He said, did you ever think that what you're complaining about was the will of God? Did you ever think that God planned and ordained it and had him arrested for the simple purpose that he could wind up in the very same place as me? Okay? Now, we're going to leave that thought for just one second. Do you think the Apostle Paul liked getting arrested and going to jail? This is not his first time. Okay? And God doesn't do random. So, Paul gets arrested. All right? He's in house arrest or whatever. And he knows enough about the Lord to begin looking around. What good can come out of this? So, picture this. Whether he's in house arrest or he's in jail or wherever he was, we know that he's in the system and he's sitting down, and maybe there's other compounds around him. So other, we know that Onesimus is a criminal. So he's sitting there and there's other guys around him, and all of a sudden in comes this new guy and everybody starts picking on him. Paul's got his his books and his papers back there, and he's just writing away, and you can hear an old guy from the back saying, "Hey guys, leave him alone." The crowd parts, and here's this scared kid. And Paul says, "Come here, sit down for a little bit." And Paul begins to befriend this young man. And through a course of time, he shared in the gospel, and this young man got saved and put his heart, gave his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. We all have somebody that we know that's lost. It may be a relative, it may be a friend. Everybody in this room has somebody, no doubt, that you pray for on a daily, weekly basis, and you beg God, "Please, would you reach this person?" And you've shed tears, and your heart's heavy, and you're just asking God, "Please, would you just reach him with the gospel? Please, would you reach him for the gospel?" Let me ask you this. What if God needed you to be willing to be arrested so that you could be in the right place at the right time to meet Onesimus? Pastor, God needed somebody on the inside. Onesimus was coming. God knew about it. God needed somebody on the inside. And because Paul was on the inside, he was able to lead this man to the Lord. And we all say, hey, we love souls. We all say we care about people getting saved. What if it took you spending a week in jail so that the person that you love could come to know the Lord? Will we still pray the way we've been praying? You know, in the heart of every believer, we ought to say, if you care about souls, we ought to say this: Lord, if wherever you need me, wherever you need me, I'm willing to be used by you. You might end up in a hospital and think, why in the world am I in a hospital? It may not be about the hospital. It may be about the guy that's in the, or the lady that's in the bed next to you. It might be about the nurse that's on your shift. It might be about a doctor that's got to come and visit you. Pastor, it might not be about the hospital. It might not be about you having a heart attack. It might be about Onesimus. And there are Onesimus all over the country. It may be a flat tire on the side of the road and the guy coming to haul your car away needs to hear the gospel. It may be bumping to somebody in the grocery store. I mean, God is busy reaching people. And we say we care about them, but how much do we care about them? Would you be willing? You know, sometimes the people we care about don't live around us. So we're asking God, hey, God, could you send somebody there? Can you put somebody in their path over there? What if somebody's praying in Elizabeth City and they got somebody in Elizabeth City and they're saying, God, please, just put a believer across the path of this loved one. They need to get saved. Well, that might mean God's going to alter your schedule. So when I was a couple, 2 years ago, I was preaching a mission conference in Indiana. And I had heard of a missionary in South Africa that was swimming across a river in South Africa. They took their clothes, put them above their head. They swam across the river. Halfway across the river, somebody yelled, "Crocodile." Not something you want to hear while you're swimming in a river in Africa. Okay? All right, one guy made it. The other missionary, boom, the crocodile hit him. Now this is great about God not doing random. Before he went to South Africa, he was at home. He was watching, you know, Steve Irwin or one of those guys on the television, and they were talking about what to do if you got ate by a crocodile. Now, who pays attention to that? You're going to take notes? No, because I don't plan on getting ate by... He paid attention to that show because he thought, hey, I'm going to South Africa. So while this crocodile is chomping on him, he remembered that show. And the guy bit by a crocodile, take your hand, put it in its mouth as far as you can reach and grab that hanging down thing back there and squeeze. Okay? Because when you squeeze it, it lets water in and he drowned. And he did that. Put his hand in the thing's mouth, grabbed it, that thing, and squeezed, and it let go. And he swam across, and I mean, like 100 and some stitches in his legs. No hospital. Gets to the clinic, and I know this to true, because I've taken people to the clinic and they have no sutures. You have to bring your own sutures, okay? And we have them in the house for that reason. Novocaine or anything like that. They just sew him up. So he goes back down to South Africa. He's on his back for days. He can't get out of bed, terrible infection, and he's just in his room playing his guitar. He rented his house from a South African farmer, and South African men are hard-headed. And this guy would walk past the missionary's window every day, and that missionary would just sit there with a guitar on his lap. He'd just sing and praise the Lord. One day, that farmer walked in his bedroom and said, "I want what you have." And that missionary was able to lead him to the Lord. And he said, "Why now?" He said, "You've lost everything. You're laying on your back. You just got attacked by a crocodile. And you're in here and you're singing songs about the Lord. And then whatever you have, I want." Now, what if that South African farmer was your son? Or your dad? Or your grandfather? Do you understand what it took for that man to hear the gospel, Pastor? We think it's about handing out tracts. It's not about handing out tracts. That guy had to get bit by a crocodile, go through all that stuff, laying on his back in pain for days, to simply be effective to a South African farmer who witnessed his testimony. And through that, he became a believer. Now, this gets better than that. So I was preaching this mission conference in Indiana. And I got done, and there was a guy out there, and he said, "Yeah, I was a former missionary to South Africa." And I said, "Yeah, I knew a guy down there, a missionary down there that was bit by a crocodile." He said, "Yeah, it was me." I'm like, "No way." I literally have the article and the picture of his leg on my phone. I took it out. I said, "There's your leg." You know, I had it in my phone. I was like, it was like, "Can you sign my Bible?" You know, I was so excited to meet that guy that it was bit by the crocodile. And I asked him, "Is it true that?" Because I had heard the story that a doctor got saved. He said, "No, a doctor didn't get saved, but the guy I was renting from, he got saved." So, that person that you want and you've been praying about, what if it took a crocodile? Like, I'm not making this up. Onesimus got arrested. Paul led him to the Lord in prison, or incarceration, or house arrest, whatever you want to call it. That guy led a South African farmer to the Lord because God used those events in his life to make an impact on a farmer. And it gets better than that. I know a story in the Bible about a young preacher boy that was out preaching, street preaching, and it went bad. People started throwing rocks at him. Okay? And there was a man there that was holding the coats of the people that were throwing the rocks. And when Stephen died that day, he cried out, "Father, forgive them." And that, I believe with all my heart, was the beginning of the seeds planted in the Apostle Paul's heart that later on got saved on the road to Damascus. It's about our heart saying this. "No, I'm not asking him to get attacked by a crocodile. But I wonder how bad we really want to see people get saved. The person you're praying for, the person you've been begging God for, would you be willing to do this tonight? God, as I pray for this person, if you can use me in any way to impact somebody else with the gospel, here I am." You cannot ask God to do something or use somebody else in a way that you're not willing to be used. And then when something does happen, instead of always thinking about the bad in it, start looking around for your assignment. It may be another Onesimus. So he was telling him, he said, "Philemon, did you ever think that this happened on purpose? You know, God wants people to go to heaven. If he needs to take somebody all the way down to the bottom, he will. When I was in New Orleans, there's a lady there that she was 9 months pregnant. She lost the baby. Well, that baby's going to be okay. The baby's in heaven. Doesn't do any good if the child grows up and trusts the Lord if mom doesn't make it to heaven. The lady who lost the baby, a church person reached out to her and was able to lead her to Christ. But it was in that time of sorrow and hurt. And then this lady shared with her and said, listen, this is bad and this is terrible that your baby's gone. But what if I could show you about a God that loves you enough? And not only did he die for you, but he also wants you to be with your baby one day. And through that, she got saved. And she thanks the Lord for it, because one day she'll see that baby again. And God uses things like that. And that's all he was telling on Philemon. He was saying, you know, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant. So he's saying, listen, when he comes home this time, Philemon, he's not coming home just as a servant. He's coming above a servant, a brother, beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. And again, this is a great example about the family of God. He's saying, listen, yes, he's still going to work for you. Yes, you're still his boss. Yes, you're still his master, but he's more than that. He's a brother. Okay? Goes on to say this, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he have wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. So, we're going to leave that for just a second. So, one day, Paul's sitting down and Onesimus comes up and says, talk to you. I'm going home tomorrow. Can you hear this all right? I'm going home tomorrow. I don't know what to do. They're sending me back to my master. He can do whatever he wants to. And I don't know how he's going to receive me. I don't know how this is going to go. And I'm kind of scared. And Paul says, well, where do you live? And he told him the name of the place. And he said, I know that place. He says, Onesimus, who do you work for? He says, you wouldn't know the guy. He says, try me. I've been there before. He says, some guy named Philemon. And Paul stops and says, is he about this big? You know, I went to Bible college with that guy. Now that's not in there. But at some point in the conversation, Paul realizes he knows this guy's boss personally. Onesimus is afraid to go home. Paul says, go get me a pen and a piece of paper. He says, I'm going to write you a letter. And he sat down in that letter and wrote that letter on behalf of a runaway slave. And then he puts it in an envelope, writes his name on it, hands it to Onesimus, puts it inside of his pocket, gives the kid a big hug, sends him on his way. Onesimus gets close to where he's going, doesn't know how it's going to turn out. He can go back to jail again. He approaches the farm, he sees other people out there working, and they stop, they drop their home, they said, what are you doing here? You know, man, Philemon is going to be mad. I can't believe you showed up. All of a sudden, he can see off in the distance, here comes Philemon, and he's scared to death. Philemon comes up, starts yelling at him. Onesimus doesn't know what to do. He remembers his letter. Philemon had to get it somehow. Okay? He gave it to Onesimus. Onesimus takes it out of his pocket. Says, this will explain everything. Can you see Philemon open this letter up and read it and get to this part where Paul says, Philemon, if you're my friend, then when you see Onesimus, I want you to treat him like you would me. And Pastor, he said, if Onesimus owes you anything, just send me the bill. Philemon got a tear running down his face, closes the letter up, goes, gives kid a big hug, says, welcome home. And you say, well, that's not all. Listen, just look at the story. Fill in the blanks yourself. That letter was written to change the heart of Philemon about a runaway slave written by Paul. When I was 18 years old, somebody wrote me a very similar letter, and here's how it would go. Dear Dad, I'm writing this letter on behalf of my son David, whom I begot in the bonds of Calvary. I know, Dad, that David has been unprofitable. I know many times that he has hurt you. He has disobeyed you. But he's different. And Dad, when you receive David, would you treat him like you would me? And Dad, if he owes you anything, just stick it on my bill. And that's why that letter's in there. Without that, it's just a correspondence. That's why it's in there. I'm Onesimus. Jesus is Paul. God is Philemon. Now, I know I'm going to heaven. No doubt in my mind. But to tell you that sometimes I'm not a little apprehensive about standing in front of God would be lying to you. That's God. You can't pretend. I mean, he knows everything, and you're standing in front of him, and I'm just so glad I've got a letter. If anybody says, what in the world are you doing here? I'm going for the letter, guys. I'm going to say, this is going to explain everything. Okay? It's not about me. Do you think the Apostle Paul had a past? Do you know what he used to do? He murdered people. He watched children cry and said, please, please don't hurt my daddy. And the Apostle Paul, cold-hearted, watched them die. Do you think he ever woke up? Has your past ever haunted you? Has the devil ever come back and reminded you about what a loser you are? I mean, you might have been saved 30 years and did something 30 years ago. And all of a sudden, in the middle of the night or on a long, long, lonely drive, it comes back to your mind and you begin to feel that guilt again and that pain of what you did. And the devil tries to beat you up. You ever think Paul had moments like that as he tried to get the screams out of his head? I mean, you don't just walk away from something like that. I understand the grace of God, but I also understand the consequences of sin. We bear those every day, and the devil can take that and wear us out. You ever think Paul ever woke up? Where did he get the idea about this letter? Because Jesus wrote him one. And when the devil would start to remind Paul of his past, he'd reach inside his coat pocket and remind the devil about a letter that was written. So, here's the end. Two things to take away. Listen, I hope that in your heart you have one of those letters. And every once in a while, it would do us all a little good to take it out and to read it. And to revisit the time when the Lord saved us. And if you hear, and you don't have confidence that heaven's your home, you need to get a hold of one of those letters and he'll write it for you tonight. Just an old sinner getting on their knees and saying, Jesus, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? Would you save me? And he'll do it. And that'll be tucked away in your heart. Second thing. We're going to fill out that card. Maybe you've already done it. It's very difficult to fill out a card saying that we're going to give to missions and that we care about people if we really don't do that. Maybe tonight, the person you've been praying for, we come find a place at this old-fashioned altar. We say we care about souls. Would you be willing to say this tonight? God, if you need me to be in the right place at the right time, to share the gospel with somebody else, I want to let you know I'm available. That's not always easy. You've got to think about it, guys. But how in the world can we ask God, please save my mom, save my dad, save my brother? How bad do you want them not to go to hell? What if it took a crocodile attack? What if it took a wheelchair? You know, God uses people to reach people. He uses our story and Him getting the glory from it in other people's lives. He might need another Apostle Paul to say, Paul, I got an appointment for you. His name's Onesimus. You might not understand everything behind it, but the reason is because this young man needs to get saved. So the second point would be, would you be willing to have that conversation with the Lord and say, listen, the best of my ability, if you can use me, I'm here. Let's pray and I'll turn over to preacher. Father,